Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Gay Pride Month. How did this all start? According to the Erie Times News, quote, June is officially known as Pride Month, honoring LGBTQ+ equality and acceptance around the world, unquote. Well, that seems like a stretch, but what is it really, and how did we get where we are with gay pride parades and festivals in most, if not all, major cities around the world, and all this with corporate sponsorship? To delve into this, my guest today is Peter LaBarbera, President of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, or AFTA. Thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane. And Diane, I also want to announce that we've got another group forming called Center for Morality, which people will learn a lot about in the coming months, I hope.
Okay. And for morality. That's going to be... so.
Doesn't even have a website yet, though. So.
Okay, so it's brand spanking new. Heard it first time here on this program. Okay, very good. You know, as we're looking at, quote-unquote, Gay Pride Month, my understanding is it all began 50 years ago in New York City area. So what all happened then that caused this revolution, I'll put it like that, this revolution of prideness?
Well, that's what they call it. They call it a revolution, the activist writers, when they're writing the history. Now, 50 years ago is really the history of in-your-face.
Okay.
I call it the history of in-your-face the gay revolution. In other words, there was homosexual activists, men like Frank Kameny, I know you know about, who's a radical homosexual who said that gay is good. He would campaign. But then in the romanticized version from the LGBT activists, Stonewall, as it's called, which was a gay bar in Greenwich Village, New York City, you know, they romanticized this thing, and they tried to make it seem like this was somehow, you know, the equivalent of the Selma in the black civil rights revolution. The difference is Selma was the African-American civil rights struggle was noble. It was righting an injustice. The homosexual revolution is a deviant sex revolution. Mm-hmm. And Stonewall itself was an anti-cop riot, Diane. It was, I mean, they were throwing all sorts of things at the cops. Of course, the cops, this was a mafia-owned bar in New York, transvestites. There was even a sort of a boy-lover connection, these so-called chicken hawks who would prey on underage boys for sex in the area. I mean, this was hardly a noble civil rights movement. This was a radical riot, but it spawned this in-your-face, defiant gay revolution, which we've seen now for 50 years.
You mean it wasn't just, you know, they describe it as a discriminatory police raid. It was something that had gone on continually with the police always discriminating against and harassing homosexual activists who were frequenting Stonewall Inn, as they just call it, Stonewall Inn.
Well, you know, I'm not going to exonerate the cops here. Everybody was corrupt. The bar was owned by the mafia. Okay. This cops were being paid off. A seamy situation.
Not a place you would take the underage kids to.
Yes, even today, that same bar at Stonewall, I think they have lewd dances and all this. I mean, we have to remember, this is a perverse revolution. I'm glad you used the word revolution, Diane, because this whole movement has created revolutionary new norms, so-called, beginning with gay. Where it started out with, you know, gay is okay, and this idea that there's a separate group of humanity which function by different rules than the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
And, of course, you took that, and that spawned later on this transgender revolution, which seemingly is even more radical, this idea that you are not, that gender, so-called, is fungible, and it's subjective rather than objective. You know, this idea that when a baby is born, it's not either a boy or a girl. It's, quote, assigned a gender by the authorities at birth. I mean, give me a break. The whole revolution is counter to God, counter to nature, counter to reality, and yet now it's being glorified as, quote, a civil rights movement, as if it's as noble as the black civil rights struggle that we've all come to accept as a good part of American history, the righting the wrongs of slavery and all that.
Plus the fact that blacks were not allowed to vote, had to pay a poll tax, I think, in some cases, especially down south, and they had to pass some kind of a test in order to vote, et cetera, et cetera, and separate water fountains, and separate theaters, and such as that. That is always something I bring up when it comes to homosexual activists who say, well, this is just another civil rights movement, but I point out, you're allowed to vote. You don't have separate bathrooms. You don't have, you know, separate theaters or separate water fountains. It's not at all the same, besides the fact that when you're born a certain race, that is not changeable, unlike those who identify as LGBT, because you and I both know people who have come out of those lifestyles. So we know it's not something that...
Yeah, and that, Diane, that's why they have such fury against the ex-gays, the former homosexuals, the former transgenders, like Walt Heyer. His website is sexchangeregret.com.
Yeah.
They rail against the ex-gays. They try to ban, now they're working on adults, they're trying to ban adults from engaging in ex-gay therapy. Mm-hmm. The reason they hate them so much is it undercuts the entire gay revolution.
Yeah.
If you're not born that way, if you're not predetermined or it's deterministic that you are a separate part of humanity that is, quote, gay or trans, then it's just about behavior that can be changed, which we know it is,
exactly.
Because we know happy, contented, former homosexuals like Stephen Black, mm-hmm. raised a family, once considered himself gay, Charlene Cothran, mm-hmm. Janet Boynes, all these wonderful people who came out, Greg Quinlan, came out of homosexuality. The gay movement has to deny their existence, has to fight those people, because it exposes the lie of gay, which is that this is who you are. It's not who you are. Homosexuality is who you aren't. It's a perverse identification, which leads to perverse behavior, which unfortunately is also very unhealthy, which is another part of the gay history, Diane. Hundreds of thousands of men whose lives were cut short because they practiced deviant sex and glorified it and went to gay bars and bathhouses, and so many men died. And that's also a byproduct of this revolution.
Talking about the reparative, quote-unquote, reparative therapy bans or conversion, quote-unquote, conversion bans, Erie just passed one just the other day. Basically, kids with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion will no longer be allowed within the city of Erie to receive any kind of therapy that would diminish that, you know, that would leave them hopeless because they would have nowhere to go within the city limits to receive therapy to overcome these unwanted feelings. But the city council unanimously felt that, well, this would be a good idea to, you know, to ban this therapy.
Yeah, they're just pandering to the homosexual movement, which is very powerful.
Well, you won't.
But it shows the tyranny that this movement is about. They, you know, I call it, Diane, it's sort of like the victim bully cult. They always portray themselves as victims, even as they're now bullying people into submission. You have the Baronella Stutzman case in Washington, the florist who didn't want to use her creativity as a florist to support or participate in a homosexual so-called marriage, wedding, so-called. And now she's been sued and persecuted. She's held up there, and they're going after her still to this day. Yeah. I mean, this is a movement which, in the name of non-discrimination, promotes active discrimination against anybody who dissents or has the audacity to live out their Christian or moral beliefs against homosexuality or gender confusion.
Yeah, and they're going after her personally. The Washington Supreme Court just ruled against her, saying that what they saw as far as her treatment was perfectly legal, that the state had not discriminated against her because of her religious beliefs. So she lost on all levels in the state, and she's going to be appealing to the United States Supreme Court. So hopefully they'll take that case up and do what's right.
That's just one case, and there's going to be so many. Now they're going after this federal so-called Equality Act, which will only create a massive federal sledgehammer to beat down religious and moral opposition to the homosexual cause. They've built up all this power, 50 years of in-your-face gay revolution, and now they're using it to persecute and oppress people who disagree. And this shows the evil heart of this movement, that they are dead set on criminalizing, effectively, for the most part, Christian opposition to their movement.
Right, because the Equality Act, H.R. 5, would actually do away with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is
why do they have the audacity to do that, Diane? I think it's because the Republicans are now so meek and timid and even or AWOL in opposing this movement that they feel like now they've got this free rein and they're just going for it all. And it's basically Trump and McConnell and a few Republicans in the Senate that stand between us and this awful, awful law, which is so bad that even the gay Republicans, the log cabin Republican and some gay so-called gay conservative Republicans, which are not really true conservatives, but at least they're Republicans, they oppose the Equality Act.
I know. I found it interesting that the log cabin Republicans, at least a former leader or something, said this is not a good idea. So that was encouraging. But again, like you said, they're not really conservatives. So, but, you know, gay pride. So, quote unquote, gay pride. Of course, we know pride goes before the fall, as it says in Proverbs. And looking at Stonewall Inn in 2016, President Barack Obama declared the Stonewall Inn and the surrounding Christopher Street Park the National Stonewall National Monument. So we see politicians, especially during the 8 years of Obama, catering to this and pushing this agenda hard. I think that has given the LGBT activists the go-ahead to push their agenda even harder, and they have continued to do that to the point of as soon as Obergefell was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, which legalized so-called same-sex marriage around the country, forced it on the country, the transgender issue really came forth. It was really beginning, what, 2015? Was it 2015 when Obergefell was...
2015 Obergefell, yeah. We'll be marking the anniversary on June 26th this year at the Supreme Court.
Right. You're organizing a news conference there on the 26th.
Well, kind of a rally slash press conference, I guess. Diane, I think also, let's look back. Yes, the politicians have caved. Yes, Obama was important, but the way this movement progressed was as it built power, it had the media and then later corporations to do its bidding.
Yeah.
And the media is the most important factor because every step of the way, if you read the gay history, which is fascinating, by the way, the gays would do something like the gay activists would disrupt a talk show. They'd get in the audience, and they'd do these things called zaps, which would basically be interrupting other people's free speech, right?
And they still
get
do
up
that.
And start yelling and screaming about homosexual rights. Back then, they actually used the word homosexual, believe it or not, gay activists.
Yeah.
And then what would happen is, after that, the media would say, well, you shouldn't disrupt the show, but by the way, do you want to do an interview? Mm-hmm. And they would end up rewarding them every time they did one of these direct action zaps or this nasty activism, this in-your-face activism. The media would reward them, and that just became more and more evident, and the media would always reward the activists to the point where about 10 years ago, the media decided there was no other side to this issue on the homosexual issue. The homosexual issue, the media has now decided this is civil rights. Mm-hmm. That's why they use the phrase civil rights all the time. They call it Human Rights Campaign, which is a very powerful homosexual transgender activist organization. They call it a civil rights group. But no, it's a homosexual lobby group.
Exactly.
But the media has every step of the way aided and abetted this revolution, and now they've decided it's the transgender moment, and so now they're pushing transgenderism at any cost. And I think the average American understands that this is really, like Trump calls fake news, this is also a fake civil rights movement that promotes fake marriage, fake gender issues, you know, fake civil rights. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, but the problem is that they're being silent. Even when it comes to having their children in public school, where the kids are being indoctrinated on this stuff, that gay is okay, that you can choose your own gender, and parents are being silent in too many cases when their child is being targeted with this propaganda. So the kids are coming out believing all these lies that the LGBT activists and the organizations like GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, that they're out there pushing on the public schools through their gay-straight alliances, their GSAs and such as that. So parents need to speak up. Christians need to speak up. Churches need to get involved and address this issue because kids sitting in those church youth groups are bombarded with this stuff every single day in school, and they don't know how to respond in a biblical way. In many cases, they think the Bible does not address this issue.
Yeah.
And the churches need to get involved.
Absolutely. And now we're like lambs being led to the slaughter. Years and years of parents turning their kids over to the public indoctrination centers, otherwise known as public schools, and some private schools too, by the way,
Diane. That's true, unfortunately, you're right.
We've created, there are new generations which have totally rejected biblical sexual ethics, the biblical morality, and it's going to be a miracle almost to get it back because you have, even now among Christians, you have many people who just gay, you know, they sort of talk about gay the way that sort of activists used to, you know, alone. you know, the idea that they have gay friends. And you even have Christians who have come up for, quote, gay relationships. Now you have so-called evangelical churches, which are actually heretical churches, promoting so-called gay relationships.
Yeah.
And it's just perverse, and it just shows the decline. It's like Romans 1, the decline of a country, of a nation, which just stops honoring God, instead honors these worldly fads, which are rooted in sin.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely rooted in sin. And, you know, of course, this is Gay Pride Month, and we have Philadelphia, which is another, you know, you and I both have been to the Philadelphia Gay Pride Parade and Festival. You were there once, and I've been there several times since that first time. But they actually are this year, their parade is on June 9th, the parade and festival is June 9th, and they have a 34-foot-long float outfitted in a rainbow of thousands of flowers and more than a million golden fabric eyelashes that will carry five Stonewall-era LGBTQ activists through Philadelphia's parade. It's a partnership between LGBTQ philanthropy group Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld Fund and also the tourism agency Visit Philadelphia and city officials. It is the only float funded by community, city, and state contributors, meaning taxpayer dollars, are being used to create this 34-foot-long float in the Philadelphia Gay Pride Parade. Again, they're using our tax dollars for things we don't want them to be used for in this situation. But one of the most recent crazes is these drag queen story hours in public libraries. And we've had several. We had one on June 1st in Bucks County. There's going to be another one on June 15th in Havertown in Delaware County, all in the eastern part of the state. But we've also had some on this side, on the western side of the state. So this is where, of course, drag queens come in and read to children. And in some cases, do some, you know, play the guitar. And
they read pro-transgender, pro-homosexual books.
That's true.
So-called children's books, which really aren't appropriate children's books, of course.
Right.
And they're indoctrinating, they're sexualizing these children in the sense that they're offering this perverse, woman-hating caricature. That's what drag queens are, of course.
Exactly.
They're men dressed up as women in these gaudy outfits and this facial makeup, like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in California, which mocks Catholic nuns. And now they're it's just shocking, Diane, that they think this is appropriate for children. And it only shows that the homosexual revolution continues to look for more and more ways to foist its perversion on the culture.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think it's interesting, it's woman-hating as well. I mean, obviously this is harmful to the character of children, it exploits children. But it also, I mean, we would never have a blackface story hour where men, you know, dress up as crude characters of African-Americans, and yet somehow it's okay to dress up as women with these crude caricatures. That's okay. Why? Because liberals are inconsistent. They're hypocritical.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, the whole transgender movement, to speak about women, talking about transgenders who are in women's sports, men who are playing in women's sports who identify, you know, they identify as women, so thus they're allowed to participate in women's sports. I mean, that is totally destroying women's sports, whether by high school level or college level or even the Olympics, and it's all across the board. And it's destroying something that women have fought so hard to gain, is access to these sports. But where are the feminists and such who are speaking out against this? I think there's a small handful.
Well, yeah, they call them TERFs, trans exclusionary revolutionary radical feminists. I think TERFs. I'm not sure if I got that right.
Oh, okay.
There are radical feminists who oppose it. And it's odd to see radical feminists working with conservatives. But yes, absolutely, Diane. And what the point I make is transgenderism is an outgrowth of gay.
Hmm.
One deviance begets another one.
Okay.
I mean, you know, this is all related. The LGBTQ, maybe it's appropriate that they are now glorifying the word queer because it's very queer in the real sense of the word.
Yeah.
This whole movement, which is just one form of deviance after another, and they all are related. And so the gays said, oh, we have a different set of sexual rules. We have sexual relationships with people of our own sex, which at one time was a taboo idea, Diane. It was so incredibly radical, people didn't even want to think about it.
Right.
They normalized that with the media's help. Now they're just moving on and saying, oh, you don't even have to even call it. If you're a man, you can just call it. You can just identify as a woman.
Wow.
It's all just one. It's all related, and it's all very queer.
Mm. But one thing you said a while back, you know, that you felt that the media was was more dangerous than corporations with promoting this lifestyle. But corporations are playing a big role in this. I mean, you look down through some of that. We just put out an alert with the sponsors of, we targeted GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Educational Work, and HRC, and pulled out some of the better known sponsors. And I just pulled out 18 for each organization, 18 sponsors. And you're talking about McDonald's and AT&T and, you know, a whole list of well-named corporations who are funding these organizations that are attacking children, attacking families, attacking normalcy when it comes to sexuality. So, you know, corporations are using their pressure. Of course, I mean, Human Rights Campaign is organizing a lot of this stuff when it comes to when they targeted North Carolina for passing the HB2, the bathroom bill is what they called it. So
yeah, Human Rights Campaign also has, they developed a strategy to pressure the corporations.
Okay.
And it was, of course, the Corporate Equality Index, which would make Jesse Jackson look like a piker, because they just basically tricked, well, it was a rigged system, which under the HRC rules, Diane, if a corporation gives to a homosexual group, they get points, they get rewards, they get a higher ranking.
Mm-hmm.
But if they give to, let's say they give to American Family Association of Pennsylvania, your organization, and HRC found out about it, the corporation would lose 25 points.
Oh, wow.
So it's an entirely rigged system, which only created this, all these corporations pandering. And where's the opposition? Here's the real sad thing. Where are the conservatives in this fight? Are they just going to put their tail between their legs and say, no, we're pulling out, we're not, we'll call this conservative, we'll back gay conservatives, and we'll pull out of this fight?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the strategy. But unfortunately, that only leads to more and more radical policies and more oppression.
Absolutely. So that leads to my last question. What can we do to counter this stuff? Because it seems like an onslaught. It seems like there's no way that we can counter this, although we still serve a God who does still perform miracles. And I think that may well be what it's going to take to get this country turned around. But, what can we as Christians do to kind of counter this stuff?
Well, I would encourage people not to get lost in a lack of hope, but rather to say, what is my responsibility before God, individually and as a family? And I think the number one responsibility is to stand for truth in whatever way you can. If it means standing up against the so-called drag queen story hour, which is going to, you know, play with the minds of these kids in such a cruel way, offering them these deviant, women-hating drag queens as role models. If it means stepping up against that, then do it. If it means asking your pastor to tell the truth about homosexuality and gender confusion in a sermon, do that. Do something to stand for God, because we're responsible to defend God's truth. That's our ultimate responsibility as Christians. And reach out to that person trapped in homosexuality in your life. Reach out. Tell them that there are many, many people like Stephen Black who've come out of homosexuality through Jesus Christ. Share the gospel with them, but don't give in to the cultural paradigm that the media and the corporations are pushing.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. So how can folks contact you?
Yes, our website is Americans for Truth Americans for Truth, that's FOR.org, or you can just write me through Gmail, Americans for Truth, all written out, FOR, Americans for Truth @gmail.com. And my Twitter is my name, Peter LaBarbera.
Okay, so it's Americans for Truth, all spelled out.
FOR, yeah, Americans with an S, FOR, Americans for Truth @gmail.com. Website, same thing, Americans for Truth, all written out, .org or .com.
.com, okay. And I do encourage folks to go on the website, because Peter has a lot of good information on there. I mean, this month is, it's just crazy.
The media are going to be going nuts this month, Diane, because of the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall.
Yeah.
Look for more the worst kind of gay propaganda we're going to see in the media.
Oh yeah, I totally agree, for sure. Thanks, Peter, so much for being with us and for your vast knowledge of information on this issue. I really appreciate it. And
thanks for all you, Diane. You're a true warrior. And we'll see you on June 26th.
I'll be there. Okay, take care.
Okay. God bless.
Okay, bye.
All right,
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.